Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, the anchor? Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We'll do college football this morning, coming up with Adam Zucker from the SEC on CBS. Big one, Auburn LSU. We'll talk about it with Adam coming up in about 18 minutes from now. It's also a Target Demo Friday. So let us know what you're doing as you listen to the show, how you're listening, and where you're at. And I'll read through those coming up as part of Target Demo Friday. You can tweet at me, DA on CBS, your answers there, or your feedback on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. I am stunned to unnews that the Houston Astros could have butchered this badly. And I'm not talking about on the field down 0-2 going back to D.C. tonight for game 3 and then potentially 4-5 all in D.C. as well. I'm not even talking about the baseball part of this. I'm talking about off of the diamond. By now you know the story. Their assistant GM, Brandon Taubman, yells in the face in the direction of three female reporters how much he loved that they signed Roberto Osuna, who has a history of domestic violence and was suspended by Major League Baseball, after Game 6 against the Yankees, where Osuna gave up the game-tying home run to DJ LeMahieu in the top of the ninth inning, a weird time, if ever, to yell, "I bleeping love that we signed Roberto Osuna." Sports Illustrated female reporter says that he was yelling it in the direction of female reporters, including one who was wearing a domestic violence bracelet, clearly trying to antagonize the female media. Well, from there, from that moment on, forget just about Brandon Taubman. It was about the Astros organization. Because at this moment, when a media member reports that you have one of your high-ranking officials essentially taunting female reporters that might be supporting education and support about domestic violence and those who have suffered from it, for one of your highest-ranking officials to be taunting those people based on his reliever who blew the game, that's a bad Taubman moment, and it's not a great Astros moment, but it's not yet an organizational moment. And when the Astros the next day decide to take a flamethrower to the Sports Illustrated report and say that it was fabricated, they're trying to make news, it's misleading. Well, now you've gone down a rabbit hole. What ends up happening? Other reporters not working for SI, both male and female, multiple reporters say, "Yeah, I saw it. Yep, that happened. Yes, it's not fabricated." And now suddenly the Astros, who have called SI and the female reporter a liar, have to begin their own investigation along with Major League Baseball. And they realize, yeah, I guess it was real. Yeah, I guess the story was real. And yesterday, in the middle of the freaking World Series, the general manager, Jeff Luhnow, is talking about how they made a mistake and they've got to apologize for it, and that they have fired the assistant GM.
His behavior was inappropriate and not representative of who the Astros are and our culture and what we stand for. That original reaction by the Astros was wrong, and we own it as an organization. There were many people involved in reviewing that and approving that, and I'm not going to get into the details of that. It was wrong. It was the Astros' decision, and that's where I'm going to leave that.
Okay, so I've got a couple of thoughts here. Number one, what happens if there weren't other media members there to speak up and say, yeah, that's what happened? Then the Astros have smeared a journalist for reporting what she witnessed, and nobody's there to support her. A billion-dollar enterprise and a team that just won the World Series would have smeared a reporter, making her look like she's just looking for attention and that she fabricated a story, which, oh, by the way, you might not have a lot of faith in the current journalism, but the worst thing a journalist could do would be fabricating a story. You have now, as a billion-dollar operation, the power brokers of the sport have said publicly that reporter lies. That could be a career ender, no. Thank God that there were other reporters there that could say, yes, no, that actually happened. Confirm that story. So that is unbelievably irresponsible by the Astros. It's vindictive and it's irresponsible. Number two, I have to laugh. Not because domestic violence is funny. Not because any of this is funny. I have to laugh because what's the only response the Astros could have done that would have been a mistake? In the wake of this report, they could have said, you know what? We take things like this seriously. We'll investigate. They could have said, we don't believe our employees would ever do something like that, but we'll step aside during the World Series and we'll look into it. They could say, we take all accusations like this seriously. We'll do our due diligence. And actually never do anything. The Astros, the easiest play in the playbook there is just say, we're looking into it, and then let the World Series unfold. No one talks about the assistant GM. Let the World Series unfold, and then in December, either say we looked into it and couldn't find any validation, or quietly suspend Brandon Taubman for the month of December when nothing happens anyway. Right? I mean, that's the easiest play. The only mistake you could possibly make here is in a Me Too world where there's more attention on domestic violence than ever, especially around sports, the only thing that you could have done that would make a mistake is call her a liar. This is a group of female media, one wearing a domestic violence bracelet. To call them liars is the only mistake. It's the only mistake that you could possibly make. Everything else, you could survive, except this. How could they have possibly blown this so badly? How tone deaf can you be? What this is, unfortunately, is a very good look inside an organization that believes it's smarter and likes to prove it to everybody. There's no other interpretation here. That the Astros were losers. The Astros lost 100 games 3 years in a row. The Astros, remember, had the lowest payroll in baseball. The Astros were drawing flies. The Astros were a punchline. 2013, 2014, 2015, punchline. And they took a lot of slings and arrows for tearing it down and tanking. And now it's proven to be smart. They're aggressive in going out and getting players. They've built another World Series team. They had just beaten the Yankees for the supposed World Series, the de facto World Series, because everyone thought they would come into the World Series and steamroll the Nats. And here they are as an assistant GM saying, screw you. We found a guy on the cheap, and I'm glad we did. And an organization not needing to look into it, saying, yes, screw them. We believe Taubman, or We'll just battle this. We'll be defiant. Screw everyone. We're the kings. That's what happened here. And now they look completely foolish because of their ego, their arrogance, and their instantaneous reaction to blame and create a story where actually that story was right. They created the fabrication. It is, every part of it is a PR disaster. Every part of it. And it is so unbelievably avoidable. All you say is we take things like this seriously and we'll look into it. And you don't even have to fire Tubman. You quote unquote look into it. And then sometime quietly in the middle of the winter when nobody's paying attention to baseball, you say our case is closed. We've handled it internally. And no one would say anything. You know, it's hard not to smile that the Astros are down 0-2 and suddenly don't look so smart, because this is such a terrible look organizationally for them. Oh, by the way, what Jeff Luhnow yesterday during his press conference said something like, I wouldn't wish anybody being up here answering these questions on my worst enemy or something like that. This is the worst thing in the world, answering these questions. I mean, come on. Actually, there's way worse things in the world, like being a victim of domestic violence. Ah, you idiot. Last night in Minnesota, the Vikings get a 19-9 victory over Washington. A couple of quick takeaways there. Number one, I mean, Dwayne Haskins is so not ready. He is just so not ready. And this is another example of a quarterback being drafted into a bad situation, and that could permanently scar him. There's no reason he should be throwing passes in NFL games right now. He's not ready. And they fire a coach. There's dissension amongst when he should start or if they should even draft him. They bring in an interim head coach. Bill Callahan's not going to be the head coach next year, which means Dwayne Haskins will have played under three head coaches within his first year. And some people wanted him. Some people didn't. He's in there with a terrible team. They're losing almost every week. I mean, it's just, it is the blueprint on how to screw up a young quarterback. And everybody knew him coming out of Ohio State. He was raw. He was not ready, that he needed a red shirt. And now they're just kind of throwing him. Oh, yeah, maybe he'll start this week. He's going to get in last night. Well, he started a couple of weeks ago. Well, later on down the season, he'll start again. It's all so bad. Number two. Kirk Cousins wasn't great last night. They didn't score nearly enough points. They settled for a lot of field goals. But a win is a win is a win in the NFL, and they're 6-2 at the break. The second half of their schedule is way tougher. They go to Kansas City, to Dallas, to Seattle, all in the second half of the season. They've got the Packers at home. They've got the Lions, the Bears, the Broncos at home. There are a number of games in there that if Kirk Cousins plays like he did last night, they don't win, and suddenly 6-2 could be 8-8. But what I loved about last night was I loved when the Vikings had to get yards. They were able to run the football. And I loved, actually not Dalvin Cook as much as I loved Alexander Mattison. Late in that game, Mattison, a Boise State product who we had on the show last year, ran so hard and so aggressively looking for contact. He had two long runs, pulled back on penalties, one holding and one illegal formation. But Mattison was a tremendous load to take down, a power back guy looking for contact and running hard. To me, finding guys like that in the draft, on your roster, for depth behind Dalvin Cook and others, is where the Vikings can separate themselves, at least from the Bears and the Lions in that division. Maybe not be able to catch the Packers, but a kid like Mattison really impressed me last night and deserved better in the box score than he got because of the two penalties. But man, that guy's got the potential to be a gamer. When we come back here on the show, Adam Zucker from the SEC on CBS, Auburn LSU tomorrow. TA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Our friend Adam Zucker joining us. There's never a hair out of place on Saturday.
Well, it helps when you're losing it at clumps for months, you know.
Oh, no.
We all get older, D.A., I'm sorry.
I know, but you
turning still... 40, I could handle. 2 kids, I could handle. We got a puppy a few months ago. I'm toast.
It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm toast. Has gone down in history as one of the great drops ever here on the DA show. And joining us from the SEC on CBS, our friend Adam Zucker. Zuck, good morning.
Good morning, DA. I'll have you know, just to pick up where we left off, I have done my best between a foam roller and a stepladder to barricade my room from my dog, who wants to follow me everywhere I go, despite all the hair I continue to lose as a result of getting this thing.
We discussed this earlier in the week, whether it's appropriate for a dog to sleep in the bed with you. What do you think?
By the end of the night, the dog is not in the bed. The dog goes back downstairs to her spot. We do allow the dog to kind of curl up and nap at times with us. If we're watching TV, you know, before bedtime or, you know, reading or whatever, the trouble comes if you fall asleep. If you both fall asleep in the bed and the dog falls asleep with you, at some point that dog will want to, you know, razzle you, get up, do something, shift, go to the curb for its needs, and then you're in for like a zombie day because now you're getting woken up at like 5 a.m.
Are you at all a little leery of having an animal that sniffs other animals' butts laying next to you in your bed for 7 or 8 hours a night?
Man, it doesn't end at sniffing. Let's just cut to the chase, first of all. Okay. I've been told that the dog's saliva has a cleansing power.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But I will tell you, our dog is a bit mouthy. We were warned in advance, so she's not even that good of a kisser, if you will. So I often get a little teeth in the mix. So I've kind of just given the hand and the chin at times and, you know, but my daughter's all in. She thinks it's great.
Yeah. Talk to the hand. Adam Zucker joining us this morning here on the show. So we've got Auburn and LSU coming up tomorrow. That's the 3:30 SEC on CBS kick. And I want to know, do you think Auburn's defense, which can be very good, has any chance of slowing down the explosive Joe Burrow-led offense of the Tigers?
If they do, I think it's the D-line. It's the guys like Marlon Davidson and Derek Brown up front who, you know, 2 weeks in a row they're making plays, or 2 games in a row they had an off week between Florida and Arkansas. But Marlon Davidson, he had 2 forced fumbles when they went down to Florida against Kyle Trask. Should have scored on the first one, could have maybe lateraled it the second time, and it's probably asking a little too much from him. So he's made some big plays. I think they need to get to Joe Burrow. I don't think it's the defensive backs who are going to be able to make stops, and something that'll be interesting to see. It's kind of like the word around town is that the Auburn DBs are a bit handsy, whereas my dog is mouthy.
Yeah.
The Auburn DBs are a bit handsy. And so they started getting dinged for those pass interference calls against Florida. Didn't have to worry about it as much against Arkansas, but against this LSU team with these wide receivers, especially now, with Terrace Marshall back from a foot injury, if they can't pressure Joe Burrow or show him something that throws him off, which we haven't seen yet, it could be rough, yeah.
Now, do you credit more of what has happened with the LSU offense to Burrow or Joe Brady, who's calling the plays?
I credit it to, like, the whole enchilada, the fact that you can bring in, like, you know how normally a corporation brings in a consultant and lets the consultant tell them what's wrong and they go ahead and do it because they didn't want to do it themselves or something like that. You know, they already have Steve Emsminger in there as an offensive coordinator, and Ed Orgeron, and of course his predecessor Les Miles was crushed for years for not changing the offense and not doing this kind of thing and getting it pass happy and all that, and they've been waiting for a quarterback like this. So I credit everybody for allowing someone, especially a young guy, an unproven guy, who was actually a GA for Joe Moorhead and James Franklin at Penn State just 3 years ago, to let him come in and sit in that booth and implement all this stuff. And Rick sits next to me. He's like, they're running the Saints offense. It's like Drew Brees to Michael Thomas when you watch Joe Burrow just throw it into one-on-one coverage, let his guy go get it. And so it's all happening, and everybody was willing to check their egos and let it all happen. But it is Joe Brady as far as the X's and O's. And as a result, Rick has proclaimed that Joe Burrow will be the next Tom Brady. So there's two Joes and two Bradys involved in what I was just trying to say. I hope it came out right.
Adam Zucker joins us from the SEC on CBS. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Auburn and LSU, 9-2 in Baton Rouge, a 3:30 Eastern kick. Now, that's going to set up a bye week, and then after that, the big one, LSU and Alabama. When you look ahead 2 weeks, what do you think is the most interesting matchup or dynamic in a potential undefeated matchup of LSU and Bama?
Right, and potentially 1-2 if it all works out to that point. To me, it's which wide receiver group can do their thing that we've been seeing all season against the DBs. And I think Alabama's actually been more susceptible to some passing offense. Even in the blowout over South Carolina, we saw them give up some stuff. We saw Tennessee get a push on Alabama. But when once Maurer was out, it didn't go as well. Garantano had the one play down at the goal line, of course. But the biggest thing to me is if Alabama will be able to stop an elite passing attack. And they could not do that against Clemson in the championship game last year. And after an early romp on Oklahoma, I mean, if that game had a fifth quarter, maybe the Sooners are playing Clemson for the national title game. So we got to see if Alabama can stop this elite passing attack, because no one else has. And that's where, you know, that's where they were a little more unproven last year and haven't really been challenged so much this year. They've had the one ranked opponent in Texas A&M, and I think they showed something more. I think they're improving throughout the season. Not everyone does that. But yeah, to me, it'll be if Alabama can stop Joe Burrow the same way Auburn has that test on Saturday.
Do you believe in Georgia anymore after the way that they lost to South Carolina?
I've had to retrace that. You know, last week's game was in just a total, you know, mud storm of Kentucky, but they still had no points at halftime. It was, but they also shut out Kentucky. I think their defense is really good. We knew that their offense was going to be missing their wide receivers, and they didn't have Holyfield in the backfield, but I thought that Dalvin Cook's brother, James Cook and Zamir White were going to just kind of be more explosive for them. So their offense has looked a bit predictable and just not world beaters the way some of these offenses are right now. Like, we used to look at the top four teams in the country, and you could go look at the top four scoring defenses and the same four teams. Now it's the top four scoring offenses or top five that give you those best teams. So there is something missing. I have had to kind of go back and say, was it as big an upset as Illinois over Wisconsin? No way. Until South Carolina lost its opener, this was looking like Will Muschamp's best team since he got to South Carolina. But Jake Bentley was part of that, and then he got hurt and was out for the year. So it's been a funky season for sure. And South Carolina really got hosed a couple times against Florida too. So they're a solid team, but you know, I don't have Georgia. I don't think Georgia beats Florida next week in yet another top 10 matchup that we have. Right now, my gut would be that Florida beats Georgia, which is not something I would have said a month ago.
Yeah, and so that would set up Florida in an SEC championship game against perhaps Alabama or LSU. Do you think Florida could hang with either one in Atlanta?
I don't know about that. They hung with LSU in Baton Rouge, though, for a while. You know, they were able to move down the field against that LSU defense.
Yeah, one score game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, one score game. There was a big interception that Trask threw, and it almost like he wanted it back as he was releasing it. So I think we'll get another close one like last year for sure. But what Dan Mullen's doing is really special right now. Like, some people don't love him. You know, he's like selling you a car at the same time. He's turning this team around. He had, you know, double-digit wins last year. You see how Mississippi State struggled without him, of course. But I don't know that I would take Florida over Alabama or LSU. But I think he's developing something very quickly. That Kyle Trask was ready to go, despite not being a starter since his freshman year of high school, because he was behind De'Ara King, and even without like Jonathan Grenard and Jabari Zuniga, who've been hurt, they look great. They look great, but again, you know, they still had to get stops on LSU and couldn't in Baton Rouge.
Well, let me just wrap up with that point on Dan Mullen. I mean, You know, the Gators faithful has been through a couple of really drag head coaches, and it hasn't been very fun down there, whether it was Muschamp or, you know, McElwain or anybody. It's just not Spurrier, and so they've been worrying it's not Spurrier, it's not Urban Meyer. Mullen comes in. He was a hero in Starkville. He comes in. They're winning. Why don't you think he's been able to really get the full buy-in from Gator faithful?
Oh, I think he will, and I think that they're ready for it. They've had trouble keeping quarterbacks healthy, and that's continued this year. Trask looks great, and this Emory Jones kid who's come in at times, he looks like a great dual-threat quarterback for the future, and one of the best passes that were thrown in the Florida win over Auburn was a pass he came in and threw over the middle when Trask had gone out for a while, and we thought Trask was done for the year, the way he was in pain on the ground. So I think he'll get the buy-in, and he was there under Urban Meyer. He was the offensive coordinator for Tim Tebow. He was also a graduate assistant at Syracuse during my time, so we actually reminisced about that once upon a time. So I think he'll get the buy-in. I know a couple Gators fans pretty closely. Their biggest issue was that they didn't have an offensive line to protect whoever the quarterback was going to be this year. But the way that Mullen's crafted the offense, it's a lot of quick release stuff, so Trask is getting rid of it quickly. The Pirine kid has stepped up with a couple of big runs, but the running game hadn't really gotten going yet. The defense is the stars, of course, again, like couldn't get the stops they needed with LSU. But if I'm a Florida fan right now, I feel like I'm definitely profiting so far this season.
Yeah. Adam Zucker joining us this morning on the show for the SEC on CBS. Their coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Auburn visits LSU, a top 10 matchup. Kickoffs at 3:30. We'll be watching, Zuck. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Anytime, D.A.
Okay, man. Adam Zucker joining us this morning on the show. When we come back, we've got your Target Demo Friday. I'll read through the Target Demos and let you know where our listeners are listening, how they're listening, and what they're doing. It's coming up next, plus your epic fail. D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
41 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. So glad you're with us. And a fine Target Demo Friday. We'll get you your Target Demo feedback coming up here in just a few moments. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. GEICO.com. Our Ask the Pros question of the day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Tim in South Jersey asks, DA, what'd you think about Orlando Scandrick? Is he right? Is there a bigger problem with the Philadelphia Eagles than we know about? Well, this has gotten real escalated real quickly. As Orlando Scandrick went on TV, ripped the Eagles, ripped their culture, ripped the locker room, and said that they are still living off of the Super Bowl victory. Scandrick says, I don't believe anything that Roseman says. Howie is one of those people who told me that if it was raining outside, I'd probably get some shorts just in case. He put it to me as he wanted to play some younger players, and they're a mess on defense, and they need to see more defensive linemen, and we'll see how that works for them up in Buffalo. That locker room is different. I still feel like they're living on that Super Bowl high. It's over. You're living in the past. Remember that Orlando Scandrick was released by the Eagles after they lost to Dallas on Sunday night. I talked about this yesterday. I talked about this after that Super Bowl win. That the Eagles had every right to celebrate and that city had every right to exhale And that city had every right to really soak it in because it had been so long, never having won a Super Bowl, not having won a championship since 1960, in a football-mad town, and a town that loves its Eagles, they deserve to soak it in. And that ticker tape parade was crazy, and the City Hall speeches were crazy, and everything was awesome.
Everything is awesome.
But you could tell how deep they partied into the offseason, how much they were feeling themselves, the fact that they put up a statue outside the stadium to the coach and the quarterback when they were still active meant that they would always live in a moment in time and probably never be able to live without it or live outside of it. It's very 85 Bears-ish. That team, the 18 Eagles will be their 85 Bears. But in doing so, egos exploded. People got comfortable. The coach probably lost control. And that's exactly what happened to the 85 Bears. Exactly. And I've always felt like Doug Peterson writing a book immediately after the Super Bowl. Hey, by the way, did you see how great my call was on Philly Special? Hey, there's a statue outside about me. Did not suggest they would be able to handle success well. And Skandrick is right. That's an organization that has been celebrating its Super Bowl for 2.5 years. And at some point, you're going to have to move on. And they're learning that the hard way right now. And I think the fact is that you heard gripes about Wentz, gripes about how loose the locker room is, people showing up late to meetings, Skandrick saying they're living off the Super Bowl. Look, there's a lot of smoke right there. A lot. Let's get to your target demo Friday.
It's a 3-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
On Facebook, Dan writes, I'm out here in Boulder, Colorado, listening on the radio.com app, wearing my best Chub Rub outfit, sweatpants, and a hoodie, and waiting for USC to come to down and shred the poor Buffs tonight. Beam me up, Dan. I'm glad you got that Chub Nub or that Chub Rub outfit out, because on Saturday night, the Chub Rub happens right here on CBS Sports Radio. Mirage, 2 a.m. until 6 a.m. on the Pork Store. Then John Kincaid after that, and then I follow with Sunday Morning Football. Nathan on Facebook, asparagus? Are you kidding me? If you're going to wrap anything in bacon, make it something delicious for the football food of the week, Mraz. Anyway, I'm listening on the radio.com app in Wisconsin, raking up some leaves before spending the afternoon fishing. How about them Bucks? Big win to start the season. I'm going to drop dead without those burritos.
I'll drop dead. I will drop dead without those burritos.
John on Facebook is on AM 640 in Bristol, Tennessee, getting ready to peel some fresh potatoes for dinner. Hashtag you need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Brandon, what up, DA? Can I get a beam up? Listening on my Echo Dot via radio.com in Tacoma, getting ready for work and taking my two daughters for skate night tonight, having a blast with the family. All right.
All right.
Chris is in D.C., listening on the CBS Sports app, ready for the city to go crazy with the Nats World Series this weekend. Hashtag, how many beers ago? Hashtag, Viking horn. Hashtag, book it.
Book it.
Matt's on the Amtrak from Boston to New Jersey for a get-together with the in-laws, listening to the website on my laptop and getting ready to go crazy. Beam me up, D.A. Jake is on Facebook. What up, D.A.? Out here working in Tulsa, getting rained on, ready for the weekend and some Sooner football. Can I get a beam up? Edward on Facebook's in Cleveland. Radio.com app, driving the gas tanker, getting that long money. Walleye seminar in the morning. Then going to barbecue a whole lot of meat. You need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
He's attending a seminar on walleye? What's the PowerPoint presentation on that? On fish? Stevens in Boise. Usually listening on 93.1 KTIK. Very nice. Anthony is on the CBS Sports app in Boise. Mowing yards.
All right.
Frieda's on 94.3 CBS Sports in Kingman, Arizona.
Oh, okay.
Harrison's on 590 in Anchorage, Alaska.
Come on, Damon. Wake up.
On Twitter, Fernando, I'm in Vegas listening on the CBS Sports Radio 1140 having donuts and coffee with the wife. Hashtag, you need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Nick is listening on Apple Radio while I work. Happy weekend, everyone. Get Mraz, a.k.a. Uncle Fester, some rainbow cookie cake so he can sit in his car alone and eat it. How about Tackle Tacos for dinner? Hashtag beam me up. You don't make no tacos? I don't love you no more. Ignatius tweets, thanks, Mraz. Now I'm a Lions fan rooting for the Vikings to make the playoffs because of the Robbie Rosenhaus bet. I feel sick. Hashtag huge freeze.
You are a machine of death.
Oh.
I don't love you no more. You need to make them tacos.
Tacos.
Willie is going to go to the Raiders game in rainy Houston, Sports Radio 610.
Oh. Valid point.
As long as you making tacos, I love you. As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
Kevin is on Apple Music in Louisiana, spending time with the fam, packing, getting ready for the weekend. Kick off a 10-day vacation. Hashtag beam me up. Headley's on the CBS Sports app in Alabama, sandblasting these stones today, getting them ready for the cemetery. Thanks for keeping us entertained, guys. War Eagle. Wow. Cemetery.
Okay, how long you been on the air, D.A.?
That's spooky. Rob's in the 321, listening on radio.com on the Space Coast, working hard. And holy smokes, I actually have the entire weekend off. And tomorrow, taking Daisy Troop 2005 to the Cancer Walk to raise awareness about breast cancer. Hashtag save the tatas.
Oh, okay.
Lonnie, happy Friday, eh? I'm at work in Arizona listening on the radio.com app. Dude, you got to chill. Mraz, asparagus, DA, can we get a dip again? Hashtag, you need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
You know it's a bad football food of the week when people are begging for more dips. Bring back more dips. Mraz today has bacon-wrapped asparagus.
I mean, yo, dude, you got to chill.
Vegetables? All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. What one was this?
This was you served us a number two.
Ah, yes, yes. I have Luis in Palmdale, who sent us a box of delicious treats from his trips across seas. One was a bag of shrimp-flavored chips from Thailand, and apparently not all gifts are going to be welcome.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
And I gave you some of those chips, and what are you bellyaching about back there?
Well, two things. Number one, you gave us chips with what appears to be a number two sort of dip. Dump's a dump.
There was a dipping sauce in an individual packet inside these chips, and I just gave you the dipping sauce.
Does that look like a French onion to you? Or does that look like what Steph Curry was doing on the floor? College poops? What does that look like to you? Because this looks like a Steph Curry situation. College poops on the same dime. And you think me, I'll eat it. This is if this was your master plan because I've been eating everything to get me to stop eating, you accomplished it because I can't touch this.
Do you like seafood?
A double curvy roads.
Real seafood, yes.
Okay, well, these are fried shrimp chips.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like an allergic reaction.
This is a Thailand special.
The muscle that is your mouth is just yapping.
Fried shrimp chips, and that's the dipping sauce.
I don't know what this dipping sauce is, but it's making me gag.
Go stuff yourselves!
On top of that, you opened up this bag of chips, and this studio smells like a dock a week after a hurricane leaves. The oceans flow into all of our water system. It is disgusting in here. And Luis and Palmdale sent these?
Yeah.
You think maybe at some point he could package some junior bacon cheeseburgers and send them? Do we need to always send literal crap because that's what's going on?
Or something that has a label I can read?
I don't know. I'm enjoying them.
Now I know why there's so many skinny people in the Philippines. That's the dip they're rolling out. They don't have the buffalo chicken dip. They don't have that yet. Instead, they have whatever came out of the litter box from their cats.
I don't know. I'm enjoying it.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Steven is tweeting he's serving warrants in Myrtle Beach, listening on the radio.com app. Beam me up, DA. Nick is listening on the radio in Arizona. Permission to come aboard the mothership. Let's all laugh at Piggy Doodle Dandy.
You know, that's supposed to be the fat drop. And somebody's messing with my board.
We're ending the week the same way we started it.
That is supposed to be the fat drop.
Chubbo.
Okay, that at least works.
Fat.
Man, thank you. You know, not the best way to end off a wonderful week here with a machine gun.
Fat.
Mike tweets, watching DA at watchda.com, working until 3 p.m., then walking across the street for an afternoon of surf fishing. Beam me up. Let's leave on that. That sounds good. All right, thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer on the DA show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at watchda.com. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Thanks to Al Capone and his gang for that final drop. I'll see you on Sunday Morning Football coming up here on Sundays. Dude, stay tuned for the pork store tomorrow overnight. Be good and be good to one another. Mothership disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.